There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday, live local talk over the hour. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. And good to see the connection. When we talk about the fight or die team, and we talked about so much last year, and the connection that makes it, I would say, Mobile's fight or die team is the man who's sitting in studio with me right now, Bryant Knight. I'm going to get you close to that mic right there. You can pull it to you. You'll be just fine. And the reason why last year when we first started talking about fight or die and they were training at a Buccaneer Yacht Club, you would ask, why is this team of vets made up from vets all over the country that's, put it in our parlance, fixing to row across the Atlantic Ocean? Why are they training in Mobile, Alabama? And dude, you're the reason why.
Yeah.
This is bring folks here to Mobile to train, to do something that is beyond the radar of most people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people think, oh, a sailing race or maybe a canoe down a river or something like that. And then I hear y'all are going to row a boat across the Atlantic, and sure as heck y'all did it.
Yep, we sure did.
I mean, that was just the nature. I mean, I don't want to get into all the other things that went on, the research y'all were doing to try to help fellow veterans out there and folks dealing with traumatic brain injuries and things that that folks in the military deal with. Mm-hmm. But also just the accomplishment. Take away all that awesome stuff, but the accomplishment of getting in a boat and rowing across the Atlantic, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it was our ocean row. We raced against, it was 28 boats total for the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge 2018. And, you know, we were one of two American teams that entered the race. And we were the first U.S. veteran team to ever do anything like this. And so that was pretty neat to be able to do that, to represent our country for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we crossed the Atlantic in 54 days, 9 hours and 3 minutes. That was our time.
And, you know, knowing it because you counted it down. Well, and I'm going to go back to the beginning in a second and describe this because we're talking about this year's race. But this is the question you probably had a 100 times. When you first had the land-ho moment, when was it? In the morning, evening, middle of the day? How'd that play out?
Yep. Actually, we saw the island the day before in the afternoon. That's how far out we were.
Wow.
And we just saw just over the horizon. We knew we were... we actually went a little further south than the island, and we had to do a hard north row for about a day. And then we got on the right parallel. And there's so much cloud cover. We were getting a lot of afternoon storms. And, you know, we finally saw the island. We finally saw land. And that was really excited us.
Imagine.
Because all we could think about was, you know, what's on the island, and I can't wait to, you know, eat a solid meal.
Right. Yeah. So what was the thing that, as you're rowing across the Atlantic, what'd you say? Oh, you know what I'd kill for? You know what I got to have? What was that?
Yeah. I think everybody on that team, we'd all agree that we just wanted a hamburger.
That was it.
That was
the hamburger.
We just wanted a hamburger. It was, you know, we talked about food a lot because you're limited to what you're eating when you're out there.
Right.
you know, our we have a sponsor, Backpackers Pantry, and you know, anybody that does a lot of camping, or you know, you can buy these meals, these dehydrated meals at, you know, REI or places like
right.
that, and sporting goods stores. And so Backpackers Pantry had donated the majority of the food
right.
For our trip. And you have to plan for 60 days at sea on everything that you're doing. And so we planned for 60 days at sea.
Okay.
And by the time we got to, you know, view of the island,
yep.
We were running pretty short with a few days
right.
few days of meals left. But, you know, while we were at sea, we're talking about, you know, man, it'd be nice to have a ribeye or
right.
nice to have a milkshake or nice to have, you know, drink a beer or
right.
just whatever, you know. But I think we all agreed that we just wanted a hamburger.
You know, I think about it's an advantage through for you and your fellow teammates through what y'all have seen mm-hmm. in life. I mean, the idea of not being able to sit down to a hot meal every night, that's nothing new mm-hmm. for
yeah.
you and your team members and so many fellow veterans.
Yeah.
But yeah, 53 days, after 53 days, mm-hmm. I mean, as much as, you know, you could have good backpacker food, it still wasn't a hamburger.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a good... And we ate all our meals cold.
Did you really?
We were racing, so we didn't... You know, and as slow as rowing, ocean rowing is, we're still racing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't want to take the time to heat our meals. Even though we had the capability to heat our meals, we ate our, you know... You just add cold water to the packet and let it swell for about 30 minutes, and then you eat it. So,
I want to talk about that, how that's set up. If people hadn't heard before, Brian, tell folks, okay, the Wubby, which is the name of the boat you take across,
mm-hmm.
the Wubby.
Yep.
Any backstory to that?
Yeah, folks? So the name of our boat, the Wubby, and I think anybody that's ever been in the military, they get issued a poncho liner blanket. And it's real thin, and it's not very big, but in great times of cold weather and times that it's just been bad for a lot of veterans that have been out in the field or you know, out in some kind of training environment or in combat, the Wubby is a nickname for that blanket. And we decided to name our boat the Wubby because, you know, she's going to protect us and keep us warm and protected while we're out at sea. And so, you know, our boat, it's specifically designed for ocean rowing. It's a 5 layers of carbon fiber, very light boat.
How long?
She's 28 feet.
And no, 28 feet.
Yep.
You cross in the Atlantic at a 28-foot boat.
With a 3.5-foot wide beam.
I mean, because so, obviously...
It's an oversized canoe.
Yeah, you've got to have a narrow beam to be able to row it.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Which has got to make it pitch mercilessly.
Well,
in seas.
So our boat was one of the very few boats designed with a dagger board. And
oh,
so
good.
That gives you a little bit of stability. I think every boat in the race, there were 28 boats in this year's or last year's race, every boat capsized except our boat.
Really?
Which was amazing. We got caught in some pretty big storms, 50-foot seas. Even there was one day where we had about 70-footers. Yep. Yep. And
can you when you're dealing with that, Brian, can you row, are you rowing just to keep your nose into the wind, or
you're
gaining on it any? How do you?
Yeah, we actually kind of enjoyed it because we're getting nautical miles under our belt and getting some mileage out of the way, and that was nice. But at the same time, you have to be very aware of what's going on while you're out there. You have to. So the natural currents of the Atlantic, they sort of propel you south and west towards the Caribbean. So we essentially followed the currents.
We hear trade winds.
Yep. You hear following seas, trade
right.
winds. These are all, you know, very real to the Atlantic. And that's why the race begins in La Gomera in the Canary Islands.
So Canary Islands. Explain to folks who are not familiar where that is.
Yep. So... the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, the race starts in La Gomera, Canary Islands. That's the island where Christopher Columbus launched to discover the New World. And then it ends in Antigua in the Caribbean. And so it's 3,000 miles, but we head south and continue heading south, and then we head southwest, and then we head west. But you're essentially in the currents most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, so there was, you know, being in those high seas and being very aware of, you know, the direction in which you're going, and you have to you want those waves behind you, and you want them pushing you. You don't want to get to the side of the big waves, because, you know, you're probably gonna go over.
I imagine too, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about this, that the Daggerboard edition might be one that gets put on a lot of boats this year.
You know, it's all about design. So many of these boat designers, they have their secret recipe, and you know, ours was
pretty good recipe.
Stability.
Hey, yep. Pretty good recipe. Hey, coming right back, talking to Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. We're going to talk about this year's team and how you can keep up with them when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday, and just having a great time talking to Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die. Of course, last year, they made it across, on purpose, got in a boat and paddled across a road. Across the Atlantic.
54 days, 9 hours, 3 minutes.
Okay. So that
Who's counting?
The men that were on that boat were counting. And that, of course, is the standard for this year's team that's coming into this. And they're heading out. Tell me about Team Fight or Die. What do you call them, Fight or Die Year 2, or just...
2019.
Every 2019. So yep. Tell me about the team. Tell me about the players here.
Yeah, so we've got four new team members, all veterans, coming from all walks of life. Our skipper from Wyoming, Carl Christensen, he's a Naval Academy graduate. He was a submariner. So he spent all his time in the Navy underwater.
Yeah, he's probably going to say, this is spacious accommodations here.
So I have a standing order for him, and that's to keep the boat afloat.
Yeah, this one stays on top.
Yeah. And then we have Evan Stratton and John Fannin, and both of them were infantry Marines.
Wow.
And then we have Luke Holton, and he was an Army. He was in the Army. So we have a kind of a broad spectrum for the team this year, and that's the whole goal. The team is, you know, kind of opened up to all branches. Anybody, you know, we have a very very easy assessment program when it comes to joining the fight.
What is that, Brian?
So the first thing is we need to ensure that you are actually in the military. So a copy of your DD-214,
right?
Sterilize your Social Security number, because we don't really need that. I just need to know that you are actually in the military. And then we ask the future rower to write a bio about themselves and what it means to them to row an ocean. And we go through, there's a lot of applicants that come to Fight or Die now, especially since we did it the first time.
Right.
But, you know, that's essentially it. And I read through every single one of them. Everybody that's on our board, they read through it, and then we make a selection, and then we pick the team for that year. And so like I said, it's an easy assessment selection process.
Yeah, but it's one that, in reading, I imagine the bio and all that, you and your fellow team members, you have a sense that you know things that we wouldn't know from a civilian perspective, who needs to be on the team, you know?
Yeah. I think you really get to the meat of the subject when you're listening to that veteran who wants to row and be a part of Fight or Die. And you get that sense of passion that's like in their story, and they're telling their story, and it's from their life and their military career, their military experience, and then what it means to them. I mean, you hear everything about their transition back into the civilian sector. And one thing that we focus on, is that transition, the reintegration back into the civilian population. Because, I think there's a lot of veterans out there today that sort of have that that they don't have a mission or they don't have that purpose that they're looking for. And all Fight or Die is saying is that, you know, and we do it like it's a metaphor, but, you know, we all have our own ocean to cross, and we just do it. We actually cross an ocean. But
right, but so that's the literal, but the figurative is what folks are going through
yep.
to leave and get back into civilian society.
Absolutely.
I got some questions from the text line to get sure. into here. And some of them technical. Cam said, you made your own fresh water. Did you pack it with you? How'd you do it?
Yep. So we have a water maker that's drawing the salt water from the ocean and turning it into fresh water. And it's
how much did it make a day? Was it enough?
So we can't run. Everything is so we're 100% sustainable. So, and our batteries are charged via solar power.
Okay.
So we ensure that our batteries are charged because we can't get below a certain voltage or your batteries go out and then you're kind of stranded in the water.
Right.
So we use battery discipline on that. And, you know, we get about 60 milliliters of water, and that'll last us for a couple of days before we have to plus up our water billets.
That's the nice thing is the team this year, not to take anything away, but y'all were in more ways than one. We'll get into it. Y'all were guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all were the guinea pigs.
Yeah, we absolutely were the lab rats.
Yeah. And now you know, okay, here's how much water you're going to be able to produce. Here's yep. how that answers that question. Dan asking, and I'm going to let you get into this because I love the stories about this. Did you have any encounters with marine life?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, so we saw everything from sharks to just regular mahi that swam under our boat pretty much the entire time. Flying fish were everywhere. I actually got hit in the face in the middle of the night when I was rowing.
What was that?
Yep, that was let's get into that story. But we had a pod of minke whales that stayed with us for about 3 days. We had a minke cow and a calf that started following us, and the calf was probably 9 feet long. The mother was larger than our boat, and we got to the point where we'd lift the oars up on one side and she'd swim along with us and we'd just put our hand in the water and she'd glide right past you.
No way.
And that was
no.
really neat.
Hold that close.
Yep. And then we had what seemed about 300 bottlenose dolphins that came and swam around us, and they're all jumping out of the water and
putting on
a show for us. And this was in the middle of the Atlantic. We were 1500 miles out when that happened. And, one of our crewmates jumped in the water and swam with them, and they would come up and just, you know, bounce into him and touch him. And I mean, that was a unique experience. So yeah, we got to see a lot of marine life when we were out there. Sea turtles, that was, you know, kind of cool. And you know, the old maritime thing where it's sort of good luck to see
yep.
see those sea turtles out there. And we were in fairly high seas. It wasn't too bad. They're nice rollers. And I remember there was a wave coming up on us from behind, and there was about a 14-foot hammerhead that was actually higher than the boat in the water. So you just saw this huge black form swimming in the water, and I saw the head of the shark, and he swam, you know, he was just curious and swam around for a couple hours and decided we weren't that interesting and took off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And humans out there, I know, talking to your fellow team members about seeing some, you know, cross-Atlantic merchant ships out
yep.
there.
Yeah.
What was their reaction on the radio to seeing y'all in that boat?
So I think the race in itself has been going on since the mid-90s, but it's mostly a European race.
Right.
There's not a lot of American involvement. And, you know, like I said, we were the very first military veteran team to ever do it. But, you know, there is a process when you see, you know, another vessel out there, you know, you raise them up on the radio.
Right.
We have an AIS system, so they're able to see us on their GPS and their radar, and it identifies who we are. But, you know, we're a rowing boat, and we're 28 feet long, so our maneuverability isn't that fast.
Right, right.
So we'll hail them. When they're, you know, within sight
mm-hmm.
and see if they can get a view of us. And then if they're on the same course, they'll maneuver around us.
Yeah, y'all get the right of way. The rowboat gets the right of way.
Yeah, we get the right of way.
That's right.
The supposedly.
Yeah, that's how the row. Until they. But I mean, it's amazing just to think about. Look it up from a boat that size. You're 1,500 miles away from either coast here. You're halfway, and you look it up the sides of a big ship like that. It must be.
Yeah. Yeah. We had one that came in inside a mile, and we had been raising this boat for, you know, for a couple hours, and finally got close to us, really close to us, and a mile to us is really close. And finally, it was this Russian freighter, and I hear this Russian accent saying he'll make a course adjustment after he finishes his sandwich. And he did. So we were really happy about that.
All right, listen, we up against a heartbreak. You can hold on?
Yeah.
All right, coming right back. More Friday Night. Team Fight or Die. The new team is set. We'll talk about how to follow them on social media and get ready for this year's race.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along this hour, and great to have Ryan Knight from Team Fight or Die in studio talking about this year's team now assembled. And during the break, we were talking about this. Not only all four are veterans, three of the team members are Purple Heart recipients.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah, so Luke, Evan, John, the two Marines and the soldier, the Army guy, Purple Heart recipients from either Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, they were all there at different times.
And, you know, that's part of what was going on last year. I want to talk about it. So we have the, and we'll get some more questions here on just the fun of watching the team row. But let's talk about what also is going on behind the scenes, and the fact that y'all were guinea pigs in more ways than one, not just in backpacking, food, and desalinization. Y'all were being hooked up and monitored for stress and issues that we're trying
and
to find out more
that's
about.
That's going to happen to this year's team too. We have two strategic partners that we support, and they support us. The first is through the University of Denver out of Denver, Colorado, the Sturm Specialty of Military Psychology, and the Graduate School of Professional Psychology. And their students and their professors, they study fight or die before the race, during the race, and after the race. It's a perfect venue for those students who are working on their doctoral years.
What are they trying to assess?
So it's all about studying the human behavior in extreme environments. And so, you know, where we partner with them on is how does that help our veteran community, and how does that help, you know, servicemen and women that are currently serving as far as a preliminary therapies or, you know, focal points that can actually be addressed before that ever happens. And so many of these therapies that are, you know, addressing the post-traumatic stress problem is kind of a they're playing catch up, and we look at it as we want to be, you know, preventive. And so that's where DU is coming in, and that's where they're studying us. And, you know, we're just I tell everybody we're just a bunch of lab rats for you know, for these students and these professors that, you know, hopefully at the end of it, when they gather all of this data, that they're able to, you know, put something together that actually works.
And that's the key. Because, I mean, while medical advancements are amazing, medical advancements on the battlefield are amazing, physical medical advancements of what can be done. But the what's going on inside the head, we're behind in that.
Yeah, the mental health issue is pretty big.
Look at the stats here. I mean, you know,
Our second strategic partner is with the Marcus Institute of Brain Health, and they focus on traumatic brain injury. So they specifically work with veterans and professional athletes. And so, you know, we when we found out about who they were, and that's through the Anschutz Medical Facility. And so it's a big training hospital. You know, they're based in Colorado, but they have a national program. So there's clinics throughout the country. and they keep opening more and more. But they've got some of the leading neurologists that are addressing the traumatic brain injury problem. And, you know, where we come in is, like, we champion what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I'm very proud of that that partnership, because we just finished our memorandum of understanding between their organization and ours, and now we're just going through the whole, okay, how is this going to work together? How are we going to work together? And so they are looking at, you know, okay, you guys are getting in a 28-foot rowboat. You're going to row across the Atlantic. You're going to be, you know, pretty stressed out. And so there's data that they could gather from us as well. But, you know, it's a – we look at strategic partnerships with organizations that are actually helping our veterans, and there's a lot of them out there, and there's a lot of good organizations out there, but their voice isn't as loud as Fight or Die's.
Mm-hmm.
Fight or Die is humble.
We call her a brand. I mean, really, you know, you're a brand.
Yeah, it's a slow process, just like anybody that's ever started, you know, anything like a business or whatever. It starts at a root, and you just let it grow. And that's where we are. So I think there was a lot of disbelief when we first started out. And, you know, I was telling everybody, oh, yeah, we're going to row across an ocean. And, you know, there's a lot of people, like, they're looking at us like, hey, we're kind of
funny. What'd your family say, Brian?
Well, I was really afraid to tell my mother.
Right.
I was, you know, my family support, the support was there. It's always been there.
Right. Did you get a judgmental look from mom?
Oh, yeah. Well, at first it was just like when I told her I'd join the military.
Right.
She didn't like to hear that either.
Right.
But I did, and she supported that. And I think once you know, it settled in after a few months after I told her that, you know, she said, okay, I got you. I'll support you.
The nice thing, though, I mean, she's got to be happy you bring the team. You brought the team here to get ready for the race. And that's what this year's team's doing. They're coming right here to Mobile to practice.
Yeah. This is so, you know, I'm a hometown boy. I grew up in Mobile. I love Mobile, even though I live away. And, you know, but I do love coming back home and seeing my family.
Yeah.
But, and the Buccaneer Yacht Club's always been a part of my family, too. And it was a real easy choice to identify a place to train, you know, our team and future teams in Mobile, because we have the support of the Buccaneer Yacht Club. We want to do it in August, so we want to put it in the hottest part of the summer.
We got it.
We like to call it controlled, creating a controlled stressful environment. And, you know, a lot of the ocean rowers, especially this year's team, that aren't used to being in the deep south,
right?
Welcome to Mobile.
That's right.
So there's that, and then, you know, naturally, the training phase. There's three phases, and it's a crawl, walk, run phase. So we get the boat out in the mouth of Dog River and on smooth water, and they learn their cadence behind the oars. They learn how to maneuver the boat. They start learning about the systems within the boat, and then we get them out into the bay. And, you know, a little choppier water. You know, everybody that lives around here, they understand that the bay can be pretty volatile at times, and you know, the ocean is no different. It's just the wave sets are a lot tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, it's a good training ground. And then towards the end of their training, we get them out in the Gulf of Mexico, and then they'll do an overnight, you know, one night, two nights out in the Gulf, and we'll launch them and tell them not to come back. I don't want to see them for the next couple of days, and they go. And so that's, you know, I say that, but I also, you know, want to let everybody know that it's extremely planned and
right,
thought out.
You're watching, but
yeah,
I mean, if you're getting ready to embark on something that takes, you know, 54 days, you better be able to handle a couple nights out for training.
Yeah. And this team is they're so, I would say, well prepared, more than our team was in 2018.
What?
Yeah, believe
it's because they're standing on your shoulders.
No,
man.
I mean they seem more organized. They seem, of course, our team. We were creating a nonprofit, and we were building the boat, and we were doing all these things that like startups do. And literally, you know, I tell people we were shooting from the hip. You know, the decisions that we were making were the decisions that are right in front of our face, and the long-term planning was not there. And now, you know, as the organization grows and we're able to become a little more stable on that aspect of it, and with along with our strategic partners, we're doing the same thing with the teams. So this year's team has had that, has been able to enjoy that. But, you know, it's also the, I think it's the character of the team or the mentality of the team. And they, you know, even though they come from all walks of life and they're different service branches, at the end of the day, you know, we're all on the same team. We all fought on the same team. And that's kind of a really cool thing to see come together, especially, you know, when they start out and they put we put this team together, and it's like, okay, you know, we need to we're going to start weekly video teleconference calls where people can actually see each other's faces, and we can start hashing through some of the initial processes of being on a fight or die team. And then when we finally get them to Mobile, and you know, they've got so much work already achieved and already established that they're, you know, then they get on into the boat, and then they start going through their certifications. You know, the Royal Yachting Association is a mandatory certificates that have to be done when you race the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge. So they're all going through nautical navigation. That's actually what they're doing today. They go through, you know, their boat inspections, which is what they're doing today. That's through the race committee. They go through sea survival. They go through emergency medical, maritime medical training. So all this is going on while they're here in Mobile.
Nice thing is, though, they get all of y'all had on some of those things you just listed, little advanced knowledge going into this. Maybe not specifically to maritime, but y'all, I mean, all those things are.
Yeah, I mean, I think the majority of the combat vets, I mean, they go through some type of emergency medical training through whatever unit that they were in. And it's usually about the same. It's, you know, the ABCs, airway bleeding, you know, circulation, and it's really important to have that training while they're, you know, out there. Hopefully they never have to apply it.
That's right.
Just so that we are, their comfort level from fight or die standpoint is that these ocean rowers are trained. And they're ready when it comes time to race.
I don't know if they can, the four of them can navigate like you and your crew. There's some, you know, you get people, special forces. I imagine y'all drop in anywhere and navigate out.
Well, you know, I wasn't a Navy SEAL. I was a Green Beret.
Right.
So I'm really, you know, good at reading a map on land. There's some things that happened at sea that I didn't take into account, you know, that none of us did, but...
But navigation.
But we've learned.
Yeah, navigation. I'm not worried about y'all. You know what? I've almost held you the whole hour. Can you stay until we finish up here? All right, coming right back. Because I do want to talk about the social media platforms, how you can follow Team Fight or Die, and get ready for this year's race when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Enjoy the conversation with Brian Knight from Team Fight or Die. And the new team is here. They're training right here. So the team that will be of global interest as they cross the Atlantic starting in December, they're training right here in Mobile, which is just a cool link, man. So that's going to be a link going forward with Fight or Die.
Yep.
Even when there's not, I mean, there's not a rower on the team this year that's from Mobile.
Mm-mm.
But the connection's here.
Yep.
It'll That's
always,
cool.
Connection will always be out of Mobile.
That makes me even more proud than I already am of what happens with the team. Let's talk about this. People listen to us talk about Team Fight or Die. Where do they go get information? How do they follow along? How do they cheer along? How do they do this?
Yep. USVetRow.org is our website, and you can check it out. And it's, you know, we're up and running, and read all about who we are and what we're doing. If you're on Facebook, it's Fight or Die, and
Oarial.
Yeah, it's a pun on the word oar, so it's spelled like a boat oar, O-A-R. But fight or die, and the same if anybody's on Instagram, they can do the same thing on Instagram, fight or die.
You're going to do the tracker this year like you did last year? I would sit in here in this studio. Think about this. We were sitting with you right here.
Yep.
You were out there in the middle of the Atlantic, and I was sitting in here on my phone.
Yeah.
Tracking y'all as you came across.
Yeah, so that app is called YB Races and Yankee Bravo Races. So YB Races is an app. It's a race app for ocean sports. And you just type in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge 2019, and you'll be able to follow all the teams. You'll be able to follow the fight or die team.
It's cool. I really enjoyed doing that each day.
Hopefully this year's team will be faster than last year's team.
Listen, man, to finish that race is the win.
Well, and that's the ultimate goal for fight or die, is to provide that group of veterans that are actually rowing on the team, you know, an opportunity to do something really extraordinary and to cross that ocean. You know, like I said earlier, the metaphor of everybody's got their own ocean to cross is true. You know, everybody has challenges, and there's a lot of things that are going to be presented in life in front of you that's going to weigh on you, and you're going to be stressed out, and you're going to have a hard time dealing with, and the same thing happens when you're crossing an ocean. And so I think it's a really good metaphor to what we're trying to do.
Nice.
Yeah, but so follow us, usvetrow.org, and Fight or Die Facebook, Fight or Die Instagram.
Hey, we won't let anybody forget before we get to the December start. And also a reminder here, for everybody who didn't remember from last year, we followed this process. After y'all train, the team trained in the Wobie, you got to pack it up and send it to La Gomera.
Yeah, so...
They pick that up at the doorstep? Is that how you drop it off at the FedEx office? What do you do with that?
No, actually, we went through the hurricane last year, taking it to Charleston, South Carolina, to get on a ship. So we, you know, we have a really good shipping partner now who they've identified Fight or Die, and they support us. And
cool.
Thank goodness they gave us a huge discount on shipping costs, because they know that we'll be doing this every year. You know, so the Wobie will stay in Mobile probably for another month after the team leaves, and then it'll get shipped to Charleston, and then from Charleston it'll go to La Gomera, Canary Islands. The team will meet the boat around the end of November or December 1st time frame, and then for 2 weeks in La Gomera the team will be in preparation for the race. And that's a really exciting time, because I think this year there's maybe 30 ocean rowing boats, 30 teams.
They'll all be kind of staring each other down.
Everybody sort of is kind of weighing each other. And, you know, it's kind of funny, because you had a bunch of military veterans showing up, you know, and, you know, thinking we can conquer the world, and which we conquered our own ocean. But it's a sport, and it's a race. And so we're sizing the competition up. And, you know, you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna smoke this team, and we're gonna beat this team, and I can't wait to like get past this team. And you know, that's great. I think physically we were ready, you know, because you're training all year long in the gym, and you know, on the rowing machine, and you're getting really strong that year. And what a lot of people don't take into consideration is, you know, Mother Nature and like everything that she's going to bring about when you're out there.
Right. So. The rowing machine doesn't recreate.
No.
The other issues out there. Oh, man. This is awesome. We're going to follow along, and hopefully you'll check back with us soon, even next time in town. But as this goes on, and you can keep us up to date with how the team's doing.
Yep. Thank you. Yep.
All right. Brian Knight, Team Fight or Die. Listen more tonight on Scuttlebutt at 8 o'clock to talk more about the team and what's happening going forward. All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way in just a second. Heads up. Portions of the program, especially the good ones, have been brought to you by the folks at Harry's. Right now, Harry's has the best deal I've ever seen to get introduced to the Harry's shaving experience. Get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Harry's believes you shouldn't have to trade great quality for a low price. They know you deserve both, and they're hooking you up with it right now. Harry's has a deal where new customers, so I can't get this deal, but new customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. Get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer, and make sure to let them know I sent you and help support the show. Once again, harrys.com, make sure to use code MOBILE. All right, see you tomorrow morning, bright and early, for Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.